ordinary people with extraordinary purposes. Matthew 2, ordinary people, extraordinary purposes. By the way, we got a chance to see how that worked firsthand on Sunday night right after the services. And I'll tell you about that here in just a minute. Matthew 2 and verse number 1. Let's go ahead and stand with our hymn books, Bibles. Amen. Matthew chapter 2. Let's go ahead and stand. Matthew 2. We're going to read verses 1 and 2. And trust the Lord to work in our midst. Amen. Finish this area off. And then trust God. Everybody got Matthew chapter 2 and verse number 1. We're going to read verses 1 and 2. And then we're not going to be long here tonight, but we trust God to work in a marvelous way. Amen. Everybody there say amen?
Amen.
How many kids are out of school? How many still have to go to school tomorrow? Nobody? Amen. Antoinette's even off. Praise God. Amen. That's a blessing. All right. Let's read verses 1 and 2 together. Here we go. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." Father, may that be our desire to come and worship you. Lord, it's your special day coming up. And Lord, as we look more at tonight, some ordinary people being used for extraordinary purposes. Lord, may our desire be, Lord, use me. Oh, Lord, help me to be more like Jesus Christ. And Lord, thinking about what we can do leading up to Christmas to give you for Christmas. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. All right, you may be seated. You know, we talked about this on Sunday, ordinary people with extraordinary purpose. And I made mention of this, that, you know, if we just do our normal, ordinary jobs, you find out that God could use us. Well, no sooner than I said the last amen and went back to the door to shake hands, Raymond Barraza came past me. And as he shook my hand, he said, "I'm ready." Now, if you don't know the story, let me tell you what's happened. He's been here for some time. I've sat down and talked with him, gave him the gospel. Pastor White sat down with him, gave him the gospel. Brother Hall sat down with him, gave him the gospel. Brother Joe sat down, gave him the gospel. And he did not get saved, although he knew what to do. Well, after the Board movie, he happened to be here. And I went to Raymond and I said, "Raymond," I said, "now you saw this movie." I said, "How can you still not be saved?" He said, "I know I need to be saved." I said, "Well, why don't you do something about it, man? What are you waiting on?" He said, I know I need to be saved. I said, "You know what's going to happen if you don't get saved, right?" Yeah. I said, "What's going to happen?" He said, "I'm going to go to hell." I said, "And you can live with that?" He said, "Well, no." I said, "Well, what you going to do?" He said, I'm going to do something. So, of course, he left. Then I preached a message last Sunday night. Ordinary people, extraordinary purposes. Didn't mention anything about getting saved. Didn't mention anything about the gospel. He shakes my hand at the door and says, "I'm ready." And I said, "Ready for what?" I forgot just that quick. And he said, "I'm ready to get saved." I said, "Oh, whoa, amen, amen." And so I said, "Well, wait a minute. Let me get this for this person here." I said, "Stand right by my office here and I'll be right back." And I went to grab some things and I went to give those things. Came back. He was gone. I thought, man, I said, I guess he didn't want to get saved tonight. He went home. And then somebody said, no, he went in with Pastor White. He said he couldn't wait for you. He wanted to get saved now. And I thought, praise God, here Pastor White was just ordinary people just kind of minding his own business. And Raymond said, "Look, I want to get saved." Amen. Again, ordinary people just doing our job, minding our own business. Amen. Which is the business of God, and get the opportunity to get involved in something extraordinary, an extraordinary purpose, leading that young man to the Lord. And after he came back out and said, "If you die right now, where are you going?" He said, "I'm going to heaven." I said, "Well, why'd you get saved?" He said, "I didn't want to go to hell." I said, "Well, why couldn't you wait on me?" He said, "I didn't want to go to hell." I thought, "Well, amen. I might die waiting on you, preacher. Amen. Take too long." And so, again, ordinary people with extraordinary purposes. God wants to use us, amen, just like he used the biblical characters here. We talked about David, Joseph, Daniel, Noah, Abraham, all ordinary people. By the way, was there anything special about Daniel? Was he an ordinary person? An ordinary person. The only thing special about him was his special God. But he was a person just like you. You cut him, he bleeds. You punch him, he says, ouch. He needs sleep. He needs food. You know, his feet stink too, just like yours. Amen. Probably more so. He wore sandals. Amen. He's got to do the same things that we have to do. David, is he an ordinary person just like you and I? Just like you and I. The only thing that made David special is that David had a special God. And he gave himself to a special God to be used. David, Joseph, Daniel, Noah, Abraham, these were all ordinary people. And we began looking at this topic here, ordinary people with extraordinary purposes. And God may call you for something extraordinary like he did with Pastor White last Sunday. Amen. Now, I was looking forward to leading to the Lord. Amen. I came back out. My bubble was all burst. I thought, where is he at? He's gone. I'm like, man, next time I'm just going to say, just follow me around. Amen. He ain't trying to lead people. I want to lead somebody to the Lord. Amen. But it's exciting when people get saved. And that should be our desire. Lord, use me for something extraordinary. Now, it may not be as glorious as someone getting saved. It may be just helping a stranger out. By the way, as I was traveling around today with Brother Scott, I saw accident after accident after accident after accident. I thought, my soul. One was so bad, it was a motorcycle all mangled up on the road, about four other cars. So obviously somebody was texting and didn't see somebody, and four cars were in an accident and a motorcycle. The motorcycle was all strewed over the street. And be careful as you're going. Don't text and drive. You know, use the devices in your phones that are there, the hands-free things and mechanisms. They're there for a reason. Not everybody's a skillful driver. Not everybody can drive and text at the same time. Amen. And so you want to make sure of those things. But extraordinary purposes are what God wants to use us for. And we noted that we're going to look at some biblical characters, see what God had done for them and through them being ordinary people like you and I, and what extraordinary purposes were involved. Last week, we looked at the wise men. The wise men were diligently watching, we saw here in this verse. And then the wise men were desiring to worship. Then we saw the shepherds. The shepherds were dutifully shepherding and delightfully sharing. And tonight we're going to look at Mary. Mary, turn over to the Gospel of Luke. The Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter number 1. By the way, let me ask you this question and get your thinking caps on. If you were God, you're not, but if you were, and you were looking to pick the mother of the Son of God, you're looking at society. What character traits or what qualities would you be looking at for the woman that's going to bear Jesus Christ? Give me some input. What would you be looking for, Joshua? It would be what? Serve you. Amen. Mary had to serve God. Amen. That's true. What qualities would you be looking at in the female that's going to mother the Lord Jesus Christ? What would you be looking for?
Honesty.
Honesty. Amen. Anybody, what would you be looking for? Yes. Purity. Amen. You definitely got to have purity because the Bible, Old Testament already said it had to be a virgin. So to fulfill prophecy, it had to be a virgin. Amen. What else? What would you look for? What would you look for? Yes. Obedience, amen. You got to be obedient, amen. What else would you look for, Carlene? Humbleness and a willingness to serve others, amen. Again, this is you. You're God. You're looking at society. Terrell? Charity? Love to others, amen. Amen. Gregory? Someone that's believing, amen. We'll hope that they are believing. Yes, Faith? The gospel, yes, she wants to believe the gospel, amen. Joshua?
Through the Spirit.
Through the Spirit, amen. All these are good things. Think about it. Because this is the question. Out of all the people living at that time, why did God pick Mary? I mean, there's a lot of other people in Israel that he could have picked. Why did God pick Mary? What was so special about Mary that God picked her? Okay. She was special to God because she had Jesus. Yeah, that is true. Amen. Yes, Gregory.
She wasn't special.
She wasn't special. Amen. Joshua.
She had to have all those things.
She had to have all those things. Why did God pick Mary? Mrs. White.
I think she was humble.
She was humble. Amen. Now, by the way, the Bible doesn't tell us why God picked her. Just like the Bible doesn't tell us why God picked Israel to be Israel. He just said, I love you. And God doesn't have to give us reason. But why? What do you think was the main reason? Why did God pick Mary? There had to be something. Come on. Set apart from others, that could be. Now, by the way, if you're looking, yes, Sam.
She was in the right lineage.
Right lineage. She had to be in the right lineage. Amen. And by the way, if you're looking down at society, or let's change it. You're not God, but you're the president of a company that's going well, and you want to keep going well. What type of people are you going to look for? Brother Hall? Amen. Amen. And by the way, I'm sure she had her hecklers as well on that department. Amen. You're gonna pick people that are what, Joshua?
Good.
That are good. You hope they are good. Amen. Again, if you're looking out to get your company to be better than what it is, you're going to pick special people. Tasha?
Hard workers.
Hard workers. Amen. I'm not going to get somebody that's lazy if I want my company to succeed. Rose?
Faithful,
I can depend on, amen. Now draw back just a minute and think about God picking Mary. Mary had to have certain qualifications. She had to have certain character traits. There had to be certain things about her that made her the right pick. Because I don't know about you, you're not going to just hire everybody that can wave a resume at you. Look at my resume. Hey, a resume don't mean a hill of beans. Let me talk to some people that know you. Can I get an amen? You know, you can put down, you can walk on water on paper, can't you? And sink through it just as fast as you can step in it. Amen. But let me talk to some people that know you, as Brother Hall said, testimony. Yes, Ms. Dawson. Must have been willing to do anything for the Lord. Now, again, think about that. When God wants to use us as ordinary people for extraordinary purposes, he is looking for something in us. Amen. And some of the same character traits that Mary had that the Bible kind of points out are certain things that you and I need to have. Now, by the way, Raymond didn't come to Pastor White just for any old reason. He came to Pastor White because he saw in Pastor White someone that could do the job, someone that could lead him to Christ, someone that could show him the scriptures, someone that had a life. Now, if Pastor White had told him off a couple weeks ago, you think he would have called Pastor White? If Pastor White would have been seen out in the back smoking cigarettes, you think he would have called on Pastor White? If Pastor White would have been over there, you know, beating up little kids, you think he would have called on Pastor White? No. But he has observed Pastor White over the years. They've been hanging up one of the teenagers by their toenails. Amen. He's not going to pick him. But he has seen Pastor White over the time. And he said, look, there's someone that can lead me to Christ. Because I flat out asked him at the door because I was going to get Pastor White. And I said, well, I said, you want me to lead you to Christ or I can get Pastor White? He said, no, I want you. I'll let him come back. I guess he's finished. I'm gone. He's Pastor White. I want him. Amen. He saw something. Ordinary people, extraordinary purpose. What does God see in us as ordinary people? And by the way, we have the ability to be a Daniel. We have the ability to be a Joseph. We have the ability to be a Moses, a Noah, a David. We have the ability to be a Samuel. We have the ability to be a Mary. We have it. Let's notice a couple quick things here, and then we're going to go. Amen. We saw the wise men. We saw the shepherds. But now, Mary. Mary, out of all the people in Israel, why did God pick Mary? What was God looking for in the future mother of the Lord Jesus Christ? And I believe we'll see, get a hint of that. Notice down in verse number 28 of chapter number 1 in Luke. Notice what it says in verse number 20. An angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored. The Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. The first thing we find, Mary was found favorable. Highly favored means that Mary had special honor or was made accepted. There was something about her life that made her acceptable to God. What do you think would make her acceptable to God? That they would say, hey, you're highly favored. You're made acceptable. Something about your life. What did she possibly do? One thing that we know that she was supposed to do was what? Sacrifices. According to the Jewish law, she was supposed to sacrifice. By the way, when Jesus was circumcised, what did they do? sacrifice. They did everything according to the law. Mary was found favorable. Why? I believe because maybe her service to the Lord, maybe her sacrifices to the Lord, maybe her submission to her upbringing and her teachings, maybe her love, maybe her forgiving spirit, maybe her determination or drive, maybe her nurturing ability for children. I don't know, but I know this. The Bible says she was highly favored. That means that she was above the rest. Notice what it says there. Blessed art thou among women. You're happy. Happy are you among women. So she is the head of the class. And so Mary was found favorable. Notice number verse 30. The angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. Now that word favor means graciousness. Or this, and I like this, the divine influence. Now I've read this before. The divine influence upon the heart of a person and its reflection in life, including gratitude. So that means that Mary was a gracious person. She was just good to be around. Think about that. She was just good to be around. You ever been around people that just make you feel good? I mean, just whether their personality is bubbly or whether they're encouraging or whether they're upbeat or whatever. You like being around them. They just make you feel good. That's Mary. Mary was gracious. Man, can you imagine how Joseph felt about that? And by the way, she had to have that kind of a testimony to be able to come back to Joseph and say, look, I'm pregnant. You ain't the daddy. Come on now. Now, if it wasn't for the angel coming to Joseph and telling him the same thing, do you think he would have questioned that? Any good, sensible husband would. Woman can't get pregnant without man. Well, nowadays you can, amen. But back in those days, you couldn't, amen. And so for her to say, we're having a baby, you're not the daddy. You see, Joseph, woman, you better be glad I had the angel come to me. Otherwise, this is going to be a big scandal around town. By the way, it was still a scandal. It was still a scandal. They called Jesus illegitimate. They called him all kinds of names. Imagine what they called Mary. And she is walking around with a belly. And folks know that you ain't, no. They doing the math. Y'all got married at what time? Mm-hmm. And the baby came at what time? Mm-hmm. Something fishy. I'm just saying she was found with favor and graciousness, the divine influence upon the heart and its reflection in the life, including gratitude. So the grace of God was reflected in her life. It was seen. And by the way, Mary was still an ordinary person. What made the difference? The grace of God. What's going to make the difference in your job? The grace of God. And your school, the grace of God. And your community, the grace of God. Wherever you go, the grace of God is going to be the thing that makes the difference. When God's grace is on your life, he transforms you, he transforms me, and we can do the extraordinary now with the power of God, just being ordinary people. By the way, you can't lead someone to Christ unless you have the power of God and the grace of God. It requires that to get someone saved. Amen. And so we see Mary was found favorable. But then there's something else about Mary that I want us to notice here. Come down to verse number 34. Mary's just an ordinary person, but she's used for an extraordinary purpose. Verse 34 says this, then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? Not only was Mary favorable, but Mary was found honorable. Honorable. The word honorable means right-minded or honest, or she was ethical. She had principles about herself. She was noble. She had some dignity. She was worthy of being honored because of her life. And so Mary was honorable, the Bible says down there. By the way, one of the things that we're lacking right now that is rare is honorable ladies. Television has mocked women, made them into sex objects. The MTV and the BET and all the rest of these videos have mocked women and made them into objects. It's terrible. And the children watch this, and that's what they think of a lady. And there is no more honor, it seems. To be able to have a girl being raised with a pure mind, a pure heart is almost impossible. You got to put them in a house and lock the door and put them behind lock and key and don't let them see anything or anybody or go anywhere. It's because society is so corrupt. I guarantee you, Mary's society was just as corrupt. It was just, sin has always been sin. It's always been bad. It's always been that way. And so Mary was raised at a time when she was honorable. She was found honorable. She says, how should this be? Seeing I know not a man. She was pure. Young people are becoming less and less honorable with social media and the airwaves. By the way, what goes across the airwaves? Most of our social media. Do you know the Bible says that Satan is the prince of the power of the what? Air. Don't you think he has some say-so about the airwaves then? Tweets, Twitters, emails, and all this texting. Don't you think Satan has got his hand in that? Because by the time it leaves you and goes to someone else, it has to travel across the airwaves. Satan's going to make that say something that it ought not say. You ever text somebody and you had that autocorrect and it put a boo-boo word on there that you didn't want somebody to see and you got to go back and quick and say, I didn't mean that. It autocorrected on me. I didn't mean that. It happened to me before. And I thought, oh my soul, what are they going to think? I said, please forgive me. This thing autocorrected and gave a word that was not the word that I meant to say. It was real close, but it added some letters that I didn't add. Why is that? The prince of the power of the air. So Mary was living in a time when the society was just as corrupt by Satan, putting ideas in young minds and corrupting their honor. It is so easy now for young people to grow up now to themselves and by themselves and doing things that they know aren't right. But if they're inundated with media and with texting and with email and internet, and as soon as you go on, you see filth, you see garbage. It's there. Mary's time was no different. Mary was honorable in a corrupt society. She said, how should this be, seeing I know not a man? By the way, it's getting increasingly difficult to find ladies that will go to the marriage altar pure. Sad, but it's true. It's getting equally as difficult to find young men that will go there pure. So we're not just picking on ladies. Men, boys got something to say in that as well. And the age is getting less, lower, and lower and lower and lower. And you know where most of it is coming from? The airwaves. Internet, email, texting. What else is out there? Chatting and spatting and batting and all the rest of that junk. Whatever you can think of, it's out there. I mean, it's out there. And so Mary was found honorable in a time where there seemed to be little honor. She was found favorable when others were not as favored as she was. But then Mary was found humble. Notice verse number 38. Verse 38, it says down there, and Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. You know what she said? Lord, whatever you want. Whatever you want. What kind of person is God looking for when it comes to the mother of Jesus Christ? We know that he's looking for someone favorable, someone that's honorable, someone that's humble. Her response was, be it unto me. Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. The response to the angel is just a messenger. This is what God wants to do to your life. And she is responding to the messenger. You know what? Let it be. Let it be. And this is just a messenger. It's not God. This should also be our response when God wants to use us for extraordinary purposes. Mary was an ordinary person, found favorable, found honorable, and found humble. And therefore, she was picked for an extraordinary purpose. She said, be it unto me according to thy word. So in other words, she's saying, if you say it can be done, let it be done. Let it be done. But Mary, what about your reputation? People are going to say, look at you. They're going to call you a harlot. They're going to call you this, and they're going to call you that. And she said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord. Be it unto me according to thy word. But what about the ridicule? Be it unto me according to thy word. She full well knew the price that was going to come with this. From Joseph, from relatives, and from the folks out in the community. She full well knew the price. And she said, I'm willing to go through it. That's humility. Knowing that you're going to have to go through scorn and ridicule for what you're about to do. By the way, young people, stand for what's right, regardless of what people say. Regardless of what they say. You stand for what's right. Sooner or later, they'll respect you or they'll run from you, one of the two. They're not going to stick around you. Mary here was a young lady here who said, I'm going to stick with this decision. Behold the handmaid of the Lord. It's going to be tough. It's not going to be easy. I'm going to get mocked. I'm going to get ridiculed. People may turn against me, but I'm going to go the hard way. Be it unto me according to whatever you say. Hey, young people, don't let people make fun of you just because you're pure. Well, you're pure. You're still pure. Yes, I am. And it's pleasing to God. It's pleasing to God. Well, you know, I'm not pure anymore. Well, dirty vessel. Dirty vessel. Hey, let's just be honest. Most men want a pure bride. And whether they're pure or not, they want a pure. Let's just be honest. Most men do. And so it behooves the ladies to keep themselves pure like Mary did. Mary said, I don't care what you say. I don't care who's doing it. I ain't doing it. I don't care who's going. I ain't going. I don't care who's wearing it. I ain't wearing it. I don't care who's hiking it up. I'm not hiking it up. I don't care who's pulling it down. I'm not pulling it down. I don't care. I don't care. And that's why God chose her. Because she was favored. Favorable. Honorable. And humble. And I believe when God looked down, he saw those qualities in Mary and many, 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 many others. This Christmas, I pray we'll all have lives that are surrendered gifts to God. Are we perfect people? No. We're just ordinary people. We're just sinners saved by grace. But guess what? God wants to use us for extraordinary purposes. He really does. And as you look at Mary's life, she is a fitting example of what can be done. The shepherds, fitting example, the wise men, all examples of ordinary people being used for extraordinary purposes. Matthew 1:21 says, and she shall bring forth the son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. We were born into this world to glorify God, and we cannot glorify God unless we're born again. But when we are born again, God wants our lives to be surrendered, just like Mary. Just like the wise men. Wise men went traveled a long way to find Jesus. The shepherds went on foot to go into Bethlehem, into town, to go see Jesus. Jesus was born to die for our sins, and God sent his only begotten Son to die for our sins. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Christmas brings cheer, but also brings a choice for you and I. I do pray that we will leave here saying, I want to be an ordinary person, doing what I should be doing for God, ready for that extraordinary purpose. Takesha found herself on that end just the other day with Brother Scott and her Chinese coworker. She's at the job working. She finds time to bring some coworkers in. And I don't know who the one was. Brother Scott said the one ran out of like they was on fire. They won't have no parts with that, amen. But the Chinese guy left and came back, wanting to hear more. The other one left out like somebody lit a fire under her. None of that for me. But guess what? An ordinary person had to bring them. Takesha. I'm doing my business. I'm doing my job. Hey, let's go see my missionary pal. Come on, let's go over here. Yeah, it's like sticking to a dog. Hey, Brother Scott said, look, I may be just coming out of surgery, but look, I can give you the gospel. Amen. And he had the time of his life. I talked to him the very next morning. He was still a little tired, but the minute he started talking about Takesha and that opportunity, he lit up like a 2,000-watt bulb, and he was excited. I'm like, calm down, brother. Now, you just came out of surgery with your heart. Now, calm down. We get too excited. He's like, I'm excited about this. Hey, look, I'm going to get these books, and I'm going to get that stuff back to Takesha, and hopefully that'll be an open door. Hallelujah. Praise God. What happened? Ordinary person. Extraordinary purposes. Just doing what she should be doing. God wants to use us, folks. God delights in using. This Bible is filled with ordinary people that God said, come here, let me use you. Let me use you. Let me use you. Now, some were notable characters that didn't do such a good job. But guess what? God still used them. Think about Jonah. But God still used him. Think about Samson. But God still used him. Let's be used of God to do extraordinary things. Think about this Christmas. The characters here, what did they do? What did they give? How did they do it? They were ordinary people that said, here am I. Use me. And God did. God did. Mary, the mother of the Lord Jesus Christ, of all the people in Israel, she's the one. But think about it. Out of all the people in the world, God chose to save you. Did you ever think about that? All the billions of people in the world that are still lost, and God chose you and saved you. You say, well, who am I? You're one that Jesus died for. But you know what? He was born first, and then he died for us. And he said, now, you've been born twice. Now, I want you to live for me. That's noble. That's noble. Ordinary people, folks. Let's leave out here thinking, you know what? I may not be all that, but I am an ordinary person that God can use. And I am a person that's special to God because Jesus died for me. And I can be used for extraordinary purposes. It may just be in child rearing. It may be just in one coworker that God wants to use you to talk to. It may be just one neighbor. It may be just one cash register attendant. But guess what? He wants to use you. Amen. Let's all stand to our feet. We're going to be dismissed in prayer.